If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Real talk. Right. What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
If you love being in a girl group, this is totally for you.
Some people call us overwhelming.
Yeah. Love it or leave it, we don't care. No, but we want you here. Yeah.
Welcome to You Can Sip With Us.
All of a sudden, I felt panicked, not knowing when to do that.
When to start. I'm Ashley.
I'm Colleen.
And
are people going to know why we were panicked?
No, but we can tell them. I mean, do they need to know? We were panicked when we heard the bell.
I just didn't know if maybe, you know, if this is someone's first time listening to this, they're like, who are these people?
So he's going to hear this. So we got a new editor who is professional.
He's good.
And very good at his job, detail oriented. You might have noticed things are a little cleaned up. He makes sure that when we say, welcome to You Can Sit With Us, we're in sync. Because we were never, ever, ever, not once in the 6 years we've been doing this in sync. We try, but, you know, he lines it up, whatever. And it takes someone who knows what they're doing to really point out what floozies who he's working with, right? And this is a wildly successful podcast. Consider, you know, I mean, there's obviously more successful podcasts out there. But when... it's been around for 6 years. We got, you know, we've crossed the 5 million download threshold. We get about 20,000 listens a week here. We've got a subscription platform. It's a successful podcast. And yet, you got two numbskulls behind the wheel here, driving, no eyes on the road. We're freaking. So he says, he sends a text and says, hey, any chance you can give me a couple bells with no talking over it? Because sometimes I need them because... You talk over things a lot and you put like editing notes in there over things that I need to keep in the episode, but I don't know how to keep them in like, I don't know how to keep the sound effects in when you're, you know, making notes to the show. So we said, no problem. Because I don't keep track of what's appropriate and what's not. I fly by the seat of my pants. Yes. So he asked for some bells. And so I said, Colleen, I'm going to record some extra bells.
So we were just belling
so
off.
So we were belling. And then I had to give Colleen the cue of like,
I got the eyes.
Which I could have probably just said, okay, and this one, because he's going to edit the whole part out in the beginning anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, on this one, this will be the real one. But instead I just said, let's play roulette here. Let's play bell roulette.
Yes.
And see if we can land it. And I actually think we did pretty well.
The feeling that it gave me was similar to the one
top
that
of
I
a
have.
Roller coaster when it's about to head
ooh,
down.
Good one. Yes. Where you're just waiting. Yeah. Also, when I take Ben to swim lessons, sometimes, it used to be every time. So it's sometimes now.
Okay.
I will get into the pool as well.
Yeah. Right.
And it's usually like we get there before his swim lesson. So we swim a little bit together and then he goes off and does a swim lesson. But no matter how warm the water is, it's never quite warm enough for me when you're going from being outside in the sunshine to into the pool. Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't like to just get in. I need to slowly get in.
Acclimatize.
And then at some point you're like to your hips and you just have to do that jump.
Yeah.
And it's that little feel. It was a reminiscent of that feeling.
Where you know,
I'm like, okay, a little uncertainty.
Right. You're bracing yourself up. You know it's coming, but like you're not totally ready, but you just got to go. Have you seen, it started, I think, on TikTok. It's probably going to make its way over to Instagram if it's not already there. But there's a woman that it turned into a trend or a sound about acclimatizing. She's like, okay, you want to get into a cold water? Here's what you have to do. She has her arms up like in a football field goal thing. And she goes, acclimatize. One arm goes into the water. Acclimatize. Other arm. Acclimatize. Two arms. Acclimatize. Right? She's dipping in. And then she goes, no, acclimatize. Holds her hands up. I think like two, acclimatize again. And then she goes, okay, count me off. And her friend counts her off. And then she just goes in. And then her friend who's filming her says, or you could just not be a little bitch. Anyway, so when you were talking about getting into the water, perhaps you need to acclimatize
or
not be a little bitch.
Seriously.
You know,
I am a little bitch in the pool.
I am too. And my I feel bad about this. But not so bad that I'm going to change it.
Yeah.
But bad.
Okay.
My kids every day swim right now.
Yeah.
And every day they ask me to get in the water. And 99% of the time I do not. Mm-hmm. And then like we had a little neighborhood pool party last weekend and they had been swimming all day. So they did like round one, swim with all the kids and popsicles and all that. And then they're done. So then they go play and do whatever inside, you know. And then some more kids came over. So then it was round two. They're back in the pool. And the adults are just hanging out. We're talking, whatever, right? And then the kids are done. They're done. They're changed and dry and everything. And then the adults decide they want to go in. Oh. And we are like, we just fed the kids. So we thought we'll set up, you know, they've been playing all day. They've been swimming. Let's set them up with a show or a movie and some pizza, you know?
Yeah.
And as soon as they found out the adults were getting in, they were like, oh, we're coming. We're coming, you know? And so then the kids get in and, but it, you would think that it, this is why it makes me feel bad because I do feel like they love it so much when, and I'm talking specifically about my kids. They love when either John or I get in. But all kids seem to just want their parents in all of the time and think that it's the coolest thing. And it's just not that easy.
No.
I don't want to get my hair. I wear fake eyelashes. I don't want to get those wet, really. I don't like being wet or in the water. I don't like having to dry off. And then I don't like getting out. I don't like getting in because then it's cold and surprising. And then I don't like getting out because even when it's like hot here, it's cold when you get out because of the wind, whatever. I don't like that. And then, you know, the hair. I just do. I wash my hair once a week.
Yeah.
I don't like to get it wet
all
in
wet.
Between. So
where we go is like at our gym.
Yes.
And so there's a family swim area and it's always packed.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's hair, it's, you know, the same things you listed.
In
and
out,
then also
drying off
I
thing.
Have to mentally prepare myself because the volume in the family swim area is
like
so
on
high.
Ears or of people. Okay. I thought you meant volume of people, but
volume of people,
the sound,
the sounds. Mm-hmm. And then the splashes, which I don't actually care about getting splashed because that's part of it. But it's the not knowing where it's coming from and it's sort of disorienting. And of course, kids are going to splash. Of course, that's going to happen. But it's just I feel sort of anxious in there. Like, it's just kind of.
Yeah, it's not relaxing.
No.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
No, not at all. And, you know, last year, Ellie was just one and she was in like the full floaty boat. Like she had
the
boat with the sun thing. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, she just gets in for a hot second. She has the floaty wings. And so it's either Chris and I will rotate. So we'll go in like quickly. But Ben's on it. He does so great. We watch him, but he doesn't need us in the pool with him.
Oh, that's nice.
I mean, he's good. He's good.
Yeah, especially because he's by himself. Like the kids need me less because they have each other now.
Yeah.
They don't ask as much anymore, but I come and like yesterday I come to sit on the edge. So if I near the, cause normally I'll like sit in the chairs by the pool, right? But if I get near the water, the kids get, I just see their eyes light up. And Rev says, no, are you coming in? I said, no, please, mom, please. Like, no, I go, I just showered. And she goes, oh, that's right. I forgot. But I literally feel like at the end of my life, is it going to matter that my, if I had to wash my hair more? Like what really matters is getting in there. The kids love it. And yet here I am. Still not doing it because I just am not. I do it once a week. I'll get in the once because then it's hair wash day.
Yeah. I think that's a nice amount. That's what I'll
do.
I think that's a nice amount. I like, I do like going in and putting my hair up.
Yeah. But it's still, I'll put my hair up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was not ready to get my hair wet a couple weeks ago. We joined a gym that has water slides. They did it for the first time when I was out of town. I think it was when I went to Flagstaff for that girls' weekend. Mac wasn't quite ready yet, and he still isn't. But Rev did it, and I thought it would be opposite. I thought Mac would do it, and Rev would be nervous. But she did it, and she really wanted me to see her do it. So then I joined them at the gym, and then there's two of them. There's a faster one and a slow one. So her and John kept going. Mac and I are watching. And then I said, I'll take Matt, you know, I'll go with you, buddy. If you want to do this, we could do it together. You can't go down the slide together. Yeah. So, but you could go up there together and we each take our, and he said, okay. So we get to the top and then he decided he wasn't ready. But then Rev was like, well, you were going to go with Matt, go with me. So then, and I was on day three, maybe of dry hair, styled hair. I looked cute because I went out to brunch. I had done my hair that morning. And so I just said, all right, here we go. I said, will I get my hair wet? I asked John. He goes, yes. Like, you're going to come flying out. So, but then once it's wet, once it's like, there's no turning back, I am all in. You can't get me out of the pool. Yeah. I'm like, let's live in here. We're sleeping in here.
Your kids will remember that.
Yeah.
They will remember that.
Anyway.
Ding, 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 ding. Hey, I didn't tell you what I'm sipping on.
Oh, what are you sipping on?
I'm sipping on some of my wedding anniversary wine. We're turning, Chris and I, we're not turning 10. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary. And I didn't think things could get better, right, than they are now until I found big wine glasses.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to tell you about big wine glasses because they're the only brand that focuses on the size of the glass. If you or someone you know loves wine, you need to check out their website now. Have you gotten, you've gotten yours.
Yeah,
you've drank wine out of yours, right?
And I ordered another pair to give to a friend because I have a friend, we drink champagne together and she likes nice things. And I feel like these just really, you know, they feel, I mean, they live up to the name, big wine glasses.
Yeah, you got a couple different kinds, right? So did I. I got Magnum.
I got the Baltazar.
They're so beautiful and they feel so light. They're super easy to clean. But this is so interesting. The larger the glasses, their larger glasses really improve the taste of the wine too by allowing the wine to open up faster with plenty of room to swirl and smell before tasting. Plus, there's no need to worry about decanters or aerators. That's nice. This is nice. This is what you call
it. It's a one-stop shop.
One-stop shop. Big wine glasses are made from a hand-blown composite crystal, making them ultra lightweight, yet sturdy enough to be dishwasher safe. That's a win for any dinner party. Plus, they're a fraction of the cost of what you'd expect for these premium quality glasses.
Truly.
No wonder Big Wine Glasses was featured on Good Morning America.
I actually was really shocked by the price because really nice wine glasses are expensive, but these have that thin, right? I like a thin situation where you're sipping.
Too.
But they're a statement. These are incredible. And it's like a they were like, hey, do you want to partner? We're like, trust us, guys. If you love wine, this needs to be your next purchase. Go to bigwineglasses.com right now and make sure to use our special promo code SIP to get 20% off your total order. That's bigwineglasses.com and use the promo code SIP for 20% off right now.
Did we already talk about, or did we talk about it over on Patreon, the cinnamon cold foam?
You talked about it that someone wrote in and recommended it. And then you texted me and said, I'm trying it. And then you said, whoa, this is good.
Yeah, this is a quick housekeeping item, like full-blown alert, though. It's not pumpkin cold foam level, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's the closest one I've tried.
Okay.
In the off okay. season, mm-hmm. in the pumpkin mm-hmm. off season. We're not yeah. going to be in the off season for that long. Doesn't pumpkin right. come back in like August or September?
Yeah. I think
it's late summer. They're like, hey, let's get pumpkins going.
Because yeah. September, we're really knocking on fall's door.
Yeah.
So I feel like it is August.
It's going to be soon. But we get asked this, no matter how many times we share it, we get asked this so much in our DMs. So it's double espresso on ice, extra ice, light water, venti cup. Add a cold foam of your choice, but I highly recommend cinnamon, and then topping that bad boy off with cinnamon, like yeah. top cinnamon topper. So good.
Until the pumpkin spice comes back, and then pumpkin spice for the rest of your life.
And then run, don't walk. Sprint. Mm-hmm. Sprint. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. that combination of the pumpkin with the espresso yeah. is like the best coffee drink I've ever had.
Yes. Very
Bar
good.
Bar none.
Yes. Yeah. I initially got it messed up when you very first told us this recipe like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I got the shaken espresso with the cold. And I will say the shaken espresso is better, but it also has a shit ton of sugar in it.
Yes.
So it's yeah. a bummer because when I first, I was like, oh my God,
whoa,
Colleen,
this is crazy.
This is insane tasting. And I was getting them like every day because they were so good. yeah. And I don't know. I just didn't realize that a shaken espresso has like
they're
syrup or something
stuff
in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and then I was like, oh, it's 30 grams of sugar plus the cold foam because the cold foam has sugar in it too.
Yeah.
So I will say, I think the best drink that I've ever had is with the shaken espresso. So if you're yeah. someone that doesn't care about sugar, or maybe you're going to drink it while like you have a nice breakfast and then you're going to go for a walk with your friend and have some coffee, grab the shaken espresso, top it, you know, do the same thing. The tall shake or the grande shaken espresso, extra ice. I did do yes. light water. I did the whole thing.
The whole
venti
thing.
Cup and then the cold foam with the cinnamon sprinkle. That was lights out. This is also very good. It's just not as sweet. And you know, yeah. I like my things. I like sweet.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched yet? I know this was tight turnaround because we just talked about this.
Oh, shoot. No,
Taylor
I didn't.
And Scooter HBO. Do you want me to just tell you some of the things?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I'm so mad because Colleen and I recorded 2 days ago or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
For our Patreon, which is a subscription only, an extra episode a week over on Fridays, patreon.com/ you can sit with us. And she had asked me about this documentary or two part docuseries or whatever. And then last night we said, gosh, there's nothing to watch because we're all caught up right now. I am obsessed. We did talk about this on Patreon and not here, I believe, the show Presumed Innocent.
Yes. So good.
And it is so good.
Jake
so
Gyllenhaal's we're caught up in it.
Oh my God. Yeah. And it's one of those shows where I'm like, I need it now. Yeah. Like I don't like to wait every week. So, and then there's no reality shows going on right now. So we were like, didn't know what to watch last night. We turned on something else. It was entertaining. Dancing with the Devil. It's
okay.
about a cult.
This is on
TikTok.
My list of things to watch because a friend of mine okay. watched it and said it's really entertaining.
Fascinating. And these people are actively right now still on social media.
Whoa.
It's like, it starts with, sorry, we're going to get back to the Taylor Swift thing, but just put it on your list, guys. Dancing with the Devil. I was seeing when I scroll TikTok and also on like TMZ or whatever, I was seeing reports of like, yeah. oh, Miranda is mad. She says, like, it's the person that the documentary is about. She says she's fine. Da, da, da. So then you go watch this documentary and it's about a family. It's these like sisters that were best friends. They became sort of TikTok famous for dancing sisters. And then she met a guy who was also very involved in the dance world. They started dating. Then they met a guy who like promised them the world. And so then they started spending more time with him because they wanted to get famous. And turns out he's like a pastor, preacher, whatever. Now, I mean, it is a full-blown cult.
Whoa.
This sister cut herself off from her family because what he said was, you need to die to your family, meaning you cannot talk to them anymore to like, whoa. then you absolve them for their sins so that they go to heaven if you, whatever. And then Whoa. Right now, though, this because this is like happening in real time, you can go and watch them. They're both these sisters and the other dancers are actively right now like putting dances on TikTok. So it's not like something that was 10 years ago. Like you get to see these people who are right now living this in real time. And Whoa. You got to see her, the girl's response. You go to TikTok or her Instagram, you get to see her response to this documentary. And man, it is just crazy. And how a cult, like, how powerful your brain can be to be brainwashed is just wild. And these, they're very talented and really pretty. And like, it's such a bummer that their life is like, anyway. Okay. So cults, that's what we watched last night instead of the Taylor Swift thing. And I regret it.
Cults are fascinating to me.
Yeah.
If you have a good cult documentary that you'd recommend, the last one.
Or that, story too. Do you know anyone that was in a cult?
Part of a cult.
Or you were in one? Yeah.
Yep. If you, any of that, email us at youcansipwithus@gmail.com. It is so scary and fascinating. The last cult documentary I watched not too long ago, I talked about it here though, Twin Flames. Did you ever watch that?
Yes. I started it, I think, and I don't. Wait, was it a, is Twin Flames the one where it promises love?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We did watch that. Yes.
Oh,
that's
God.
Insane.
I just love, like, I can't get enough of them. And I wasn't a part of a full blown cult, like, but I was like semi, I consider Southwestern, like the mentality and the sacrifice. And then just some of the things, like I look back on that time and I'm like, man, there's just some things that I was a part of that I like didn't, that in hindsight, I'm like, I don't love that. You know, and I was young. I was young and very swept up. And also it was still one of the best things I ever did. So it's complicated feelings. Anyway.
Well, and I don't think I did anything, I don't know. I don't think I did anything wrong, but it is a lot of like, you have to believe in the, right? With Southwestern, it was like 8 o'clock knock, you're working 80 hours. There was lots of like, the answer lies behind the next door. And these are mantras that have actually, for years, the answer lies behind the next door. Like, I credit a lot of my success to that sort of mindset.
Yeah. But even like, you know? When I say I was like part of things and did things, it's like one of the specific things was we would encourage people to drive from Oregon to Nashville, like hardly any sleep. I almost fell asleep while driving one time on the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Almost hit a semi in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Like that kind of stuff, like that's unsafe. And at the time I just was in college and it was part of like showing commitment and like doing all these things. And
there's a promise of success. Like if you do it this way and you see all these people that have got that, and you're like, I want that success. Okay. Yeah. I'll do whatever you say. And it worked out okay for us, but I could see what you mean now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, man, I really did believe some of these things that I do not believe anymore. Like,
I went and spoke with a group who, there was a group from Southwestern who were in my hometown and they asked me to speak to them. So I was a motivational speaker for them last summer. Mm-hmm, and that was actually a moment where I was just looking at a lot of these younger kids. And then a handful of them were having like serious mental health issues that summer because of the immense pressure and the amount of work and the grind. And that actually, it was seeing them going through that. I was like, I don't, you know, they've asked me again to go and speak this summer. I'm like, I don't know if I can anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can anymore.
I don't know if I stand by the business model.
I don't think
it is so hard because I feel like if you guys don't know what Southwestern is, it's like we've talked about it several times because Carl did it four summers. It's selling books door to door. They like transplant you to a different state and then you have to go knock on doors to find a place to live. And then like just ask, can I live here free for the
80
summer?
80 plus
and,
hours a week.
Yeah. And then you're working 80 plus hours. I cried every single day on the book field, but I think it's one of the best things I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And
the people that like the connections that I still have from that, who it made me in terms of resilience and the way that I approach business and execute on business. I mean, it really was. Yeah, it's complicated. It's complicated.
I feel like, you know, that's very interesting. Like, what is the difference between what we did and what these people are doing in these cults? I mean, some of the cults, like they're abusive or they're, you know, obviously those are bad things that are very clear. But, you know, driving across the country in 2 days, you don't sleep, you don't get a hotel room, like you just take turns driving. Yeah, that's unsafe. But like the girl that this documentary is about, she's very happy with her life right now. So who's to say that she shouldn't be doing it? But part of the cult is cutting off your family. which I
and
don't,
then,
you know.
And then what?
And then what? And also he's and taking like a bunch of their
like
money and stuff.
Flames. Yes. First it was do this. And then it was this thing. And then it was this thing. Like, and then it was causing harm to others and making them freaking broke and false promises. And I mean, it obviously like there's a huge range, but I think why I find cults so interesting is because I can identify with that feeling of being a young, typically it's younger people.
Of really believing.
Of believing something. In something, of there being this sort of idealistic thing that you're trying
well,
to
the
get
promise
to,
of success,
this like
I think.
Drive. Mm-hmm. And then there was this like vulnerability in me, not only with age, but just this desire of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And money and whatever. Yeah. But it is fascinating because I think people can lose so much sight when they believe like so much in something of like what's actually happening. And anyway,
I don't know. I feel like I learned so much and I only did it one summer. I learned so much about mental toughness on the book field and like that whole experience and what I was capable of. And I mean, I truly, and when I was interviewing for jobs after that one summer, people, and I'm sure you were like shocking people because I only did one summer. And every time I would talk about that, people would be like, what? Like everybody that interviewed was very impressed with that on the resume, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's an incredible, incredibly hard thing to do. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh. Wait, we didn't even get to the Taylor Swift thing, okay?
After this ad.
Okay, after this ad. Well, this is great. We can go right into this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So if your brain is not where you want it to be in any area of your life, if you feel like you're believing something that isn't serving you, if you've got trauma you want to work through, if you've got a struggle, if your brain is just offering you thoughts that don't feel good, if you've been thinking about talking to anyone ever, a professional, let me tell you about BetterHelp. I have been in therapy for 3 years now, very consistently, massive fan of it. I think everyone should do it. Just having, sometimes I show up and I'm like, I don't really have anything to talk about today. And yet, because I have a human brain, always something comes up. So I have benefited greatly from it. BetterHelp is done entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you're going to do is go online, fill out a questionnaire, and get matched with a licensed therapist. And then if for whatever reason that doesn't fit, it's not a good vibe, or the schedule doesn't match your schedule, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Stop comparing and start focusing with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/sip today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sip. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, so Taylor and Scooter.
Tell us about Taylor and Scooter.
Okay, so HBO released a kind of a documentary, I guess. I don't want to call it a docuseries, but it's two episodes, one documentary. And it sort of dissects the pivotal moment in the music industry between Taylor and Scooter. But not just Scooter, like that entire label. What was it, like Big Machine or something?
Yeah, Big Machine Records or something.
So for those of you who live under a bridge, there are more ins and outs. And I think what's really cool about this documentary is it approaches it from a standpoint. So like one, the first part is Taylor's version. The second part is Scooter's version.
Oh, okay. So you saw, I thought it was the reverse. I thought it was Scooter's and then Taylor's.
So I watched Taylor's first and then I watched Scooter's first. And I really tried to keep an open mind throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously going into it, extreme bias.
Yeah.
Like Taylor can do no wrong in my, it would very much disrupt. And I know, she's not perfect. There have been things that Taylor has done that I'm like, I think we've, you know, reached too far here. Even in Antihero, she talks about like looking directly at the sun, but not in the mirror. Like some of her sort of like moves in the past. And she's you know, always scrutinized. She's in like a huge public thing. She's also like gone through her real like young 20s, adolescence. Like she's grown up in the spotlight. That's tough. So a lot
of empathy
there.
All of us have made really dumb moves that we regret in our lives or that, you know, if we knew better, we would have done differently. She just did it with millions of the world watching.
Yes.
You know,
but no one's throwing a perfect game. And And they preface the documentary, like before they get into Taylor's version or Scooter's version, they talk about what a big deal this was because it directly impacts like how labels are signing artists, the type of deals and the shape, the, you know, the vulnerabilities that this could create, like kind of for everybody. So there's a lot of impact to this. No one's ever done it before. It's like unprecedented, right? That someone's gone back, like people's catalogs have been sold before, historic ones, right? Like Michael
Jackson.
This
could be, I mean, not a cult, but early, it's the same thing, the promise of fame, right? She's a young girl wanting to get famous and these people are promising her the world. So she says, okay, I'll sign whatever you want me. Oh, you're going to own my master? Okay, whatever. Like, you know, it's like this promise. It's these people in power promising fame to someone that, or what, success to someone that wants it.
Yeah. So
you don't know what you're signing.
So yeah, so Taylor, she was young. She struck a deal with Big Machine and they didn't know what she would be able to do for her, right? Probably fully. Mm-hmm. They probably saw a huge amount of potential and then she skyrocketed to enormous fame. Mm-hmm. And they talk a lot about that. That's a central thing of like, the contract was in no way structured to support the enormity that happened of her, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And she had talked about, so she owned her lyrics, like she owned her songs, but the label owns the record because they're doing the production, they're putting it out to market. So they own like the master. That's what the master is in reference to, is like the final recording that you would hear like on streaming, for example, or the radio. So that is, so they own the masters. So...
But she, yeah, that's always confused me. So she owns her lyrics, but when she re-releases them, they still sound very similar, but does she have to change things a little bit?
Yeah, just slightly.
Okay.
Different,
so that
art,
it's not the exact.
Yeah.
Oh, art, but I mean like the beat and stuff.
No, she doesn't have to change the beat or anything like that.
Okay.
She just has to like recut it.
Reproduce it. Yeah.
Reproduce it.
Yeah.
Slap different art on it. Add some things, you know, even
bonus
if it's
tracks and whatever. Yeah. Okay.
So I'll start with Scooter's side because I did find some things interesting in there. I mean, they definitely did a lot of, they put a lot of color on his like character and how he really tried to be an involved manager with a lot of the artists that he was managing. And a lot of managers try and fade into the background and he really has taken a lot of pride. I mean, now he's not managing talent. He's like doing other things, but he really, there's a lot of examples of the investment, the personal investment that he had in the artists that he was managing. They cited, you know, when Ariana was doing the concert in, I think it was Manchester, and there was that
the shooting,
really horrific bombing, that he was one of the first people to jump in, put on the like One Love or like One Hope aware, to raise money for the victims' families. And there was a number of things of like, this isn't like the devil in a suit, basically was his side, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other part of it is his claim, and this is like direct on the documentary, him speaking, is that he was presented with the deal from Big Machine. And he asked, has this been cleared by Taylor? Because a big part of this deal was Taylor's masters.
Yeah.
And he was told by Big Machine, like in an email that he has, that like, long story short, we tried to work it out with her and she's not interested in this deal. So he apparently asked and he was told that. So from his perspective, this was a this was being sold and he purchased it, like straightforward done deal. And then he was sort of confused by this blowing up in the way that it did.
But you just said that they told him she didn't like it. What's he confused
that
about?
She was not interested in the deal. And then when the deal was sold, he was confused on, why is Taylor making this a big deal about me? She wasn't interested in this deal. Why does it matter to her if she wasn't interested in this deal and it's already been cleared by her? Why did I just buy this catalog and now it's coming like around me you, sideways.
Yeah, okay, I misunderstood. That it sounded to me like you said he was told, we told her about this and she's not in, like, she doesn't like this. She's not interested in it.
Like, she's not, like, she passed on the offer.
She didn't want to buy her master's is yes. what, yes.
Yeah. So okay. then this whole thing blows up and he's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Right? Like, this was a transaction.
Yeah.
That you passed on.
Yeah.
Why is this, like,
which
coming
now
at
we
me?
Know that was a lie, right?
So then,
well, at least that's what Taylor said.
So then, there's not only Scoot. It feels like it's more than just Scooter's version. It feels like there's like one part Scooter who's the buyer, and then there's also it's kind of like the big machine version too, because they were the seller of this, mm-hmm. right? And that mm-hmm. to me, I was always focused in on Scooter. I still don't really know about like him or his character even after watching this, but I feel like. Whoa, Big Machine is the one who did Taylor more wrong than Scooter did.
I felt like that the whole time, though.
Have you? Okay.
Well, because Scooter has no allegiance to Taylor. What is he? Oh, it's going to hurt your feelings? Sorry, it's like, why does he care? Why should he care about Taylor's feelings? It's my thought. I was like,
yeah.
It always, the onus, I don't know how he would think that she wouldn't care, that he's going to be the owner, but I also don't think that's his problem. I actually don't think Scooter did anything wrong because it's like, this is a, he sees dollar signs. What, I mean, he's a businessman has no relationship with Taylor. Why did, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It always seemed like the other, Scott Borchetta was the one that really was at fault here and Big
Machine. Yeah.
To me.
And Scott Borchetta is on this documentary basically saying that Taylor knew about this, that she was not interested in buying her master's back or they couldn't strike a deal. Her people passed on the opportunity to actually do that they actually were offered to her and they passed. They cited her dad being mm-hmm. that he made money off of this and had a stake in Big Machine, 10% or something, mm-hmm. maybe less. And he knew about this. There's no way she could have not known. Mm-hmm. And that the way that Taylor's characterizing this is like lies, that she's like straight up lying and confused. And this is all just, they're very confused and puzzled and she needs to stop lying. That's their side. Taylor, her side, there was a detail that I didn't remember or I didn't know. So she's working with Big Machine, right? And apparently she started early talks about, or not early talks, but wanting to actually buy her master's back.
Mm-hmm.
So they did talk about a deal for her to buy her master's back before Big Machine took it to market. And the deal was, you give us six more albums or something, because I think she'd recorded six albums at the time. For every new album you make us, we'll give you one of your albums back.
Mm.
So it's locking her in and making it conditional and not actually giving her the opportunity to just buy it. Like they gave to Scooter that they would have given to anybody else.
Yeah,
so
I think most people would reject that deal.
That's a dumbass deal.
That's a crazy deal. Yeah.
It's insulting for what she's already given you and sends a clear message of we're trying to lock you in because we know what you're going to be able to do for us.
And that's where I get pissed because she's sort of the way that she talked about Scott Borchetta and even the way he's talked about her is like they grew up together. They got famous together. Like they had almost a an additional father-daughter relationship kind of thing. And for him to then treat her like she's just a business or a dollar sign would be so hurtful and offensive. Yeah. And that's what that is, right? It's like, I don't actually care about you as a human when the whole time she thought that, and I feel like Taylor really does care about people that she works with.
Yes.
So that would be really hurtful to be like, you're a person to me and I'm just a number to you or like a business. So that would be a pretty hurtful deal if someone offered, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they didn't give her the opportunity. They never actually gave her the opportunity straight up.
Yeah.
According to Taylor's version. And then that is the pivotal moment of why she left Big Machine and went to her new label. And that's probably what the email that Scooter saw, or like he was probably given a very high level. Oh yeah, we tried to work it out with her, but we didn't. So his part's not actually totally wrong. But here's the other interesting part is, and I definitely forgot about this because it was public. Like there was a speech that Taylor made. There was a Tumblr post that she made. And then there was an interview that she gave where she talked about how two-faced it was basically of Scott to do this, because for apparently years, there's been things that Scooter has done to wrong both Taylor and Scott.
Mm.
And that how convenient it is that Scott forgets all about that when it's, you know, 300 million or however many millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars this was. Mm-hmm. Now, what those details are, I don't know. No one will probably know. And that's also a little bit like she took personal offense to the buyer that this was sold to when she didn't get the, like, not only did you not give me the chance to buy it, but you then sold it to this perceived, not even perceived, but who she is like, this is a bully. This is
a bully.
Someone who's treated us wrongly. And this is intended to harm me.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm beholden, my master's and my collection of work is beholden
is
to someone
money to this person who has bullied me my whole career. Yes. I'm a little, who produced this? Because the fact that they have Scooter Braun and Scott Borchetta both having interviews, but Taylor is not at all involved in this project.
I didn't see a Scott interview.
Oh, I thought you said he was in there too.
He was in there, but not like a direct interview. I think Scooter was a direct interview.
Yeah.
But Taylor probably declined this. She was probably given the opportunity. I mean, they would have loved it. I will say, though, I left this feeling like, oh, Team Taylor still. And of course I would. Yeah. But even Chris, who's more neutral, he's like, this is just fascinating. I never really understood all the ins and outs. And Taylor was not painted in a bad light.
No. Yeah. Well, I don't think she did anything wrong. I think Scott is big machine is the one that really did her dirty.
Yeah.
And I get why Taylor was upset about it.
Yeah. And big business deals can go wrong all the time. And there's feelings like on both sides of who was right, who was wrong. And if you're to just watch the Scooter's version, you might come away with that thinking like, oh, whoa, Taylor really did like blow this out of proportion. But the key thing that they're glossing over when they say she was aware and we gave her the opportunity to buy it is the structure of you give us six more and we'll give you one back at a time.
Yes. And also that she probably thought they wouldn't sell it to Scooter.
Mm-hmm.
Which, right? I actually still don't think Scooter did anything wrong in this transaction.
Yeah.
Because he was, I don't know all the things, but like he did, I feel like remember hearing he did do things, seemed like Justin and Scooter, because they were, you know, thick as thieves for several years and they would come out and like say things against her or something. There was like beef going, public beef with them. So in this transaction, I don't think Scooter did anything wrong. I feel like he has to be behind this documentary because he's going to clear his name.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but because on Netflix, they have like, this, it was like a couple years ago, a vegan documentary that came out and it's very compelling. And then you realize, or it's like about the anti-meat or whatever, how bad eating meat is for you or something like that. And then you find out, oh, it's like the National Vegan Association that produced it. So of course they're going to paint it in that light, right?
Yeah.
And it seems very, several years ago, like 10 years ago was when Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead came out. And then there was like forks over knives and all these and they all seem so believable. When our oldest dog Brewer got sick, we watched Pet Fooled. Do you remember that documentary?
I think so. It rings a bell.
It's about pet food and how horrible kibble is and that the species appropriate diet is a raw diet and And it's so compelling. And so then we started feeding them a raw diet. And then I've seen recently that like that's not appropriate for dogs, not our domesticated dogs, maybe out in the wild or whatever. But I saw tons of vets saying I would never do a raw diet for my dogs, like never do it. But it's just because they can produce something to make it look like they're presenting just facts, but to totally spin it in a way that you're coming out with a message that
an agenda.
Yeah, an agenda. Yes. So they're not produced by neutral parties. So not that they could make Taylor look bad in this.
Yeah.
But typical, they're going to probably say Taylor's being emotional. It's a business decision, right? Females are emotional and right? But I don't think Taylor was wrong. And I don't think Scooter was wrong. I think Scott Borchetta, I wouldn't want to touch with a 10-foot pole.
The other thing that they talked about in Scooter's version was Taylor asking her fans to, like, it was like she sent her fans on them, Scooter and Scott. Like, she was like, I don't know what else to do. Like, we need to, like, be vocal about this or whatever.
This is wrong.
And, like, this wrongdoing. Yeah. And what that turned into, they're like, how would she not have known that unleashing all of her fans on these guys would result in, like, death threats and, like, death threats to their family, and that that was, like, a very terrible thing that happened. So, but
yeah, I mean, I had a friend one time who said something similar to me. She's like, how, what do you mean that, like, you didn't think anyone was gonna, like, we had this falling out and I talked about just how sad I was and blah, 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 whatever. I didn't say anything specific, but she's like, I'm getting flooded with messages about this. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, how could you not know that that was what was gonna happen? And I'm like, I don't think about that. Yeah. I just am telling my story that my feelings are hurt and I'm really sad and da, da. I'm not trying to paint you in a bad, I truly didn't think people were going to, like, I don't think Taylor's in the space of, like, I'm going to send people out so that they get death threats and make their lives miserable. I think she's in the space of, like, I am help so me. Hurt and I need collective voices to let them know this is not, maybe she's thinking, like, you know, peaceful protesting is what she's thinking. Yeah. She's not thinking about the worst of her followers. Right, is what I'm guessing.
I agree.
I think generally and genuinely, she thinks people are good. I mean, she's had stalkers and crazy psychopaths, and yet she still pursues fame because you can't live your life based on what the 1% or 0.001% of the, you know, fan base is going to do. Unfortunately, those ones are usually the louder ones. They're the crazier ones that are willing to do that. But I don't feel like that's like, she wasn't saying go do death threats. I don't think she would have done that, you know?
Totally. But nonetheless, that was the impact.
Fascinating. Still happened.
Fascinating. So I do recommend it. It was good. It wasn't crazy great, but it was good. And
okay. Well, for me, being a massive Taylor fan, to know a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
Because I did think, I can remember at the time when this all happened, thinking like, Taylor, it's not a big, like, you're very emotional right now, it seemed like, right? Like,
yeah.
I was not super, I didn't really care. I'm like, okay, he bullied you, so what? And now I'm like, and she's probably so grateful for it because what happened from that is an incredible, like the re-records and the fanfare and the just bananas situations that were going on.
Yes.
I'm so grateful for, you know?
And in Taylor's
the whole
version,
Reputation album.
In Taylor's version like, too, I think as a Taylor fan, what you'll like is they talk about her track record of being a fighter and not being afraid to stand up for what's right. And that is risky in your career. Like they talked about her countersuit of the sexual harassment where that guy who sexually harassed
grabbed
her sued
her
for like however much. And she countersued for a dollar on principle, took it all the way to court, spent her time, spent her money. And
won. And it was not about money. Yeah.
Yes. And how she's not afraid. She's not going to just back down quietly. She's not afraid to respond. You know, so that was cool too.
Well, yeah. And when on Miss Americana, when she's going out against Trump and some of these like legislations and they're like, they're going to come for you. You'll get death threats. And she's like, I don't fucking care. You know, she's like, I feel too like vindicated in this. I've got to have a stance or whatever. I don't want to be on the wrong side of things. I love that about her. Okay. Finally. Ding, ding, ding.
Okie dokie.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Actually.
What?
So we had this party on Sunday that I was talking about. Our next little partner here, guys, is ZBiotics. It is the maker of the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. Why is this important? It is the first drink of the night for a better tomorrow. So we have our neighbors over on Sunday. And I didn't bring it up. We were talking about like things to do, you know, electrolytes and things to do to help prevent feeling junky the next day when you're drinking. And three of the guys there swear by, they said before I came over, I had a ZBiotic. Is that not, I was like, oh,
that's
this
cool.
is amazing. I was like, we use them. I love them. We swear by them too. I just, yeah. So anyway, all right. Step one, you're going to have a ZBiotic. It's the first drink of your night. Step two, drink responsibly, pace yourself, hydrate, get a good night's sleep. And then step three, you're going to enjoy tomorrow. Wake up feeling refreshed. Why? Every time you have as ebiotics before you drink. So what's actually happening is alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut when you drink. And it's that byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. So this pre-alcohol, the Z-Biotics pre-alcohol, produces an enzyme to help break this byproduct down. It's a proactive solution that wards off feeling miserable the next day instead of a reactive approach like drinking electrolytes or eating greasy food. I mean, it's always worked for me. And then it was so cool to hear people. I love when people like talk about a brand that I love.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, it works for you too. It's legit, right? It's baked in, signed, sealed, delivered. This stuff is, we all need it.
I love it so much. It truly is a lifesaver, especially when it comes to having to be on the next day. Join the movement of empowered women and everyone choosing ZBiotics for smoother mornings and unstoppable success. Enhance your mornings with ZBiotics. Go to ZBiotics.com/sip to get 15% off your first order when you use SIP at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/sip and use the code SIP at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. This episode's flying by.
It is flying, man.
Flying holy by moly. As they do. It's already time to bring it home with a rant and a rave. I have two rants. They're short.
Okay, great.
One is cords. I don't love them at all. Cords of any, like, especially places where you have like multiple cords coming
they're
out
so
of the
ugly.
Thing.
Uh-huh.
They're so ugly. And I know that there's cord things that you can like streamline the cords,
organize,
put them in these tunnels and bundle them. And even that, I just despise.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I despise it. I have this little, I have this like little box by my desk that I like put the extension cord in with like multiple plugins. So I have all the things plugged in and then it just, the cords kind of get bundled up and they hide there. And then every time I go to use my standing desk, I lift the desk up and then I hear that box just like explode and all the cords come out every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't figured out how to do it better or different. It's just whatever. My other rant, and this actually kind of leads to a product that I'm excited to try. I hate shopping for foundation because I typically buy it online. I don't go in.
Yeah.
And I could easily go into a store and get foundation
matched.
Well,
not really. It's not that easy.
It's not that easy. And I just, I don't, I like to buy online.
You could do it.
And
it's,
I could, I choose not to.
Right.
But you go to buy foundation and like, to the credit of all the makeup people doing things, they have lots of different shades so you can find your perfect one.
Mm-hmm.
I find it so hard to like look at those pictures online, and then 9 times out of 10, something will come to my door and I'll try it on and it's not right. It's not
right.
Perfect
right.
at all.
Yes.
I'm looking too like one way or another where I'm like, this is just not my color. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's very frustrating.
Very frustrating. So I'm going to try. Have you seen that IK Mirage foundation or IK Mirage or something?
Oh yeah. Their ads are
very one compelling. Of the big selling points that they have, which I think is so smart, is it's AI like foundation match. So you pick, it's already on the way, this foundation.
Oh.
So you go and you order it and then they show you pictures of, are you more like this person or this person, this person or this person? So you do that quiz for a little while and then they have you take scans of your face without makeup on. And then the idea is that it matches you perfectly. Foundation matching is such a pain point. I'm like, why isn't everybody doing this? Why don't they make it easier to guide you to the right color for your face?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to try it and I'll keep
you all
posted.
That's how they do it. Because that's why their ads are so compelling to me, because the foundation always matches seamlessly.
Yes.
Like it's just evening the complex, but it's like their skin tone just more even.
Yes.
It's crazy.
That's their like differentiator. So it's on the way to my house. I will try it and
you'll
report
have to
back.
Report back.
To
the other one I want you to report on is, because it's coming up in my subscribe and save, is that like hormone, estrogen, something that you...
Yeah.
So it's coming. It's going to be delivered July 1st, but I want to hear your update as you have them.
Yes.
You know?
So like, my doctor said to have 2 cycles and then see, you know, how we're doing.
Yes.
And I will say it's typically about this time that I feel my worst. Mm-hmm. When it comes to my cycle, and I've only been doing this for a couple of weeks, and I did have, like, the other day at the pool, I think I talked about it on Patreon, where I was like, I had a short fuse, I just was too hot or whatever. Yeah. I don't think it's going to, like, cure everything, and we'll see how I do over the course of the next month.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of days where I felt pretty impatient, but not nearly what I was feeling.
Yeah.
Not nearly. Mm-hmm. So I will. Good. I will report back.
Keep
so
us, far, keep us posted.
So far, so good. Like, very
and it's something
good.
You take every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Not like just around your cycle. Okay.
Nope.
I have two rants too, but I might. I don't know. One is a story that I have to get your opinion on. This is probably like a Patreon thing, but it's been on my note for a while. So I go out with some people, and like they flew in. A couple of them flew in. So okay, I'm going to a girls' weekend.
Okay.
And two of them fly in and one of them is hosting us for the weekend, right? Okay. So we go out and we're going out to lunch. Four of us. We had two cocktails each. Two of us had burgers and two of them had, the other two had salads or something like that. And I'm like, let me get this one. I'm going to get, you know, so the server comes over and I'm like, here, let me get this one. I'll get this one. I'm like, you guys flew, you're hosting, da, da, da. And they're like, no. I'm like, no, seriously. Yes, the rule is whoever gets their card first, let me pay. Okay. So I make a big stink about it.
Yes.
And then and I don't even look at the bill. I just give them the card. And then the bill came and I was like,
Oh, shoot. Maybe I should have. Yeah.
It was $500. Well, with tip, it was like $478 or something like that.
Burgers and
for
salads?
Burgers, salads, and two cocktails each. And I did, what am I going to do? Hey guys, actually, I'm not going to get this. So I was just like, okay.
How many people? Like,
four of us.
No.
Four.
No.
And I don't even know if this is a rant. It was just like a, what do you do in that situation? So I just paid it, but then, and I'm feeling better about it now because it's been several weeks since. And so I'm distanced from that, but it felt like trauma. I was like, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't, like, what would you do in that situation?
Oh, wow. This is a learning moment for everybody listening. For you,
you got to see the bill first. You got to see
the move. Is the bill comes,
I literally was like, there's no, I was expecting $250.
I think this is the move. The bill comes.
Oh, my God.
And people all kind of see it. And you know, that one person kind of grabs it and you kind of look at it.
Great.
And then maybe you pick a person and be like, do you want to cover this one for the group and then whatever?
Right.
Or it's all, hey, guys, I'm going to get this. And then they'll, no. And it's like, I'll get the bill. You guys just cover tip. Because that at least takes like a chunk off.
Yeah.
But probably if you had seen $500, you would have just been, okay,
how do we want to split this up? We'll just split it up. Like, we'll just, because that's fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, that's like, crazy.
I was, and that's, I talked to John so about it because he gets a text every time any charge goes through to help prevent any fraud or whatever. And I talked to him about it. I'm like, I didn't know what to do. And he's like, it's fine. Like, that's totally, who cares? It's okay. Don't worry about it, you know?
Yeah.
But I felt bad, but I also didn't, because it's like nice to treat people, but they had no idea how much it was.
Yeah.
And another girl at the end of the trip picked up a bill. And so then she was like, no. So she took a picture of the bill. And then when she said, like, we split everything from the weekend, she sent it out to the group to be like, okay, here's the Porsche. Here's everyone owes this much. And then she said this, you know, you don't owe that because you covered the last bill. So she took that amount off of hers, but not, you know, so that I'm just paying, you know, I'm paying double, whatever. And it's fine. Like, I was, it was, it's fine, but it made me like sick to my stomach a little bit. And I didn't really know what to do. So the rant is on learning moments that are sometimes painful.
Oh man.
I guess. I don't even know what the rant is.
An outrageous amount.
It was insanity.
Like, if you were going to spend that amount, you
I
would
should
want
have checked
to
see
be,
if that was even our bill. Maybe they gave us the table next to us bill.
Oh my
like,
God.
But I don't know how that
they
added
probably
up.
Didn't think.
No, like, I don't think that they thought it was going to be that much.
Yeah.
At all. Because two burgers, two salads, and eight drinks total, right?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's
come again? That's how does that happen?
Crazy.
How does that happen?
How does that happen?
I don't know. And it's like embarrassing to even say this because it's weird. But it's something that I thought about like several times since, where I was just like, man, that
I
is
got hosed there.
I didn't make the right choice on that one.
Ouch.
I thought I'll got it. I got it. I'll handle it. And then I was like, I don't want to handle this anymore, but I can't say that. So here I am handling it. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Anyway, my other rant, I'll save it for next week because it's a summer rant that is appropriate anytime.
Okay.
What's your rave?
My rave is Chris and I are celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary. And I think that's cool. And that's something to be celebrated. Also a little mini rant about him because this will air after. So we'll know after our anniversary. So I didn't know what to get him. 10-year anniversary is supposed to be like steel or aluminum or something or tin.
Iron.
Yeah. And so I was like looking online. And then one of the ideas that came up was a watch because it is kind of that vibe, like metal type thing. So I was like, shoot, I don't know. It makes me feel a little bit uncertain how to buy like jewelry essentially for anybody. Nonetheless, a guy, like I know, you know, a little empathy for how they feel when it comes to buying a woman and jewelry. So I know where he keeps all of his watches in his office. So I go to his office and one of our dead dogs' ashes is on top of his watch case. So I move Jack to the side.
Okay.
And then I
Okay, this is a rave because I was getting really nervous about where the story was going.
The rave is the 10-year anniversary. This is a light rant.
Okay.
So
okay.
Don't worry, Jack's fine. The ashes are fine.
That's what I was worried about. spilled everywhere.
I move the ashes and I get to, it's like this case that he has all of his watches. So the whole goal is I took a picture of all the watches that he has so that when I went to Nordstrom, I could show the watch consultant person and be like, this is what he already has. I want to get him something he didn't have.
Yeah.
So I find a great watch and come home. And later that day, Chris goes, hey, because I like stopped. He was like working at his computer and I popped my head in to talk to him about something else. And he goes, hey, were you around this area? And he points to like the case. And I say, no.
Oh.
No, I was not. And he said, weird, because I came home and Jack was like right here on the desk and he's normally right there on top of that case. And he knew, and he's like, and I knew you were out like out and about, like, what were you doing? And I was just pissed because I'm like, I just did all this to surprise you. And now I'm 99%
certain. He knows what you got him.
He knows what I got him.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll know for sure. I'll report back. But isn't that just a little bit of a light rant where you do all the things and you just want to pull it off?
You
and
just forgot to put Jack back?
That was the only thing that I forgot to do was put Jack back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all spoiled. I thought, damn it. I was really excited to like surprise you.
You know what you should do?
What?
Trick him.
Okay.
Get him something else. Get him something small or whatever. Like just like a, I don't know, something else. And then when he gives you your gift, you give that to him. And then let it ride.
Yes,
let it ride,
good
right?
idea.
And then 20 minutes later, 30 minutes, whatever you, I don't know. It was something small. I didn't know. I just, you know, I didn't know what to do, but blah, blah, blah. You know, get him something silly, kind of. And then you, bam, go like in with the
decoy.
Watch, right? And so then it's like, he's like, oh, I thought I was getting a watch. And then he gets something else. He gets a shot flask or something.
Yes. Right?
And then you say, this is what I actually got you.
But I have a decoy gift.
I
got
you
little,
do?
Yes. I got him a while ago, little luggage tags. Because eventually we're going to go on a trip for our 10 year, but I don't know when that'll be. Schedules are crazy. But anyway, I got him new luggage tags that say his name and whatever. They're cool.
That's
They're
very
from
nice.
Etsy. And they were cheap though. They're like 10, 15 bucks or something.
Okay, great.
Cute. So that's the decoy gift.
Yeah, that's it. Because you're like, we always travel for our anniversary. We couldn't.
Yeah.
But here's when we can. And he'll be like, oh, thanks, honey. And then he'll be like, I thought I was getting a watch. Yeah, to our adventures.
Yes.
And then, but you got to let it ride for a little bit.
Yes.
Let him really believe that. Don't do it right away.
Yes.
Let it ride for a little bit to get him really believing. And then, boom, then you surprise. That's how you get your surprise again.
I'm so glad we talked about this.
Yeah. Okay, good.
That's how I'm going to execute. What's
then
your rave?
Report back. Okay, this is kind of wild because it's probably going to be a rave several times over the next year.
Okay.
But I have a friend. I guess we've already started talking about it, but the 40th birthdays are coming.
Yes.
And I have a friend that was here last weekend. He's like, hey, my birthday is November. Do you and John want to come to Nashville with us? It's my 40th birthday, da, da, da. And I was like, oh, that sounds fun. And then I just started thinking about like, we are heading into the era now of 40th birthday parties. And it has me so the best, I mean, I think the only one that I've been to so far is Chris's, and it's still one of the top weekends ever.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, yes, you did a great job. You were pregnant, and so it was a different experience for you. But it was just so fun, and it has me so excited and looking forward to it. And someone asked on my social media yesterday how old you are, and I said 39, almost 40. And like, I am so excited to turn 40. I am so excited to live my 40s.
Yes.
I feel like the 30s have been amazing. I don't know how you beat them, but I've just heard the 40s are going to be better. So I'm so looking forward to the anticipation of celebrating all of my people going into their 40s. It just feels so cool.
It is so cool.
And then also me being 40, like just that we're right there. We're on the precipice of like, that's the era now.
I love it.
For the next year, we will have tons of 40th birthday celebrations, I feel like.
And the welcoming of what's
And the welcoming of a new,
Yes.
Chapter. I just am really looking forward to that.
Me too.
Makes me very excited. Yeah, that's it.
All right. We love you guys. You can sip with us always.
And we will see you next Tuesday.
Bye.
Do we ding at the end? I don't know.
Want more? You can sit with us. How about another round of your favorite podcast?
Sign me up. Join us for another round over on Patreon. That's where we give you the down and dirty. We get raw and real. We raw dog it over there.
Oh, yeah. Every Friday, at least, we drop Friday episodes over on Patreon and additional content. It's all ad free. You can sign up. Go to patreon.com/ You Can Sip With Us, or download the Patreon app and search You Can Sip With Us. Become a patron. $5, guys.
It's $5 a month. I mean, just give up your latte one day. One day out of 30 days, boom, paid for.
Yeah. You know? Totes, kabotes. Do it. We'll see you over there.
KCO.
Every Friday,
love
guys.
Love you.
Bye.
You're our crew. Bye.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.